São só os quatro? Ou temos já o resto do time?
Recording in progress.
The arrival. And however, we also got confirmation from Mr. Cogolati from Belgium. Initially, and he even registered to come. But a few minutes ago, I got a call from him informing us that unfortunately he will not be able to join us because at the very last minute, a debate was scheduled in Parliament, and he is called to present a very important project before Parliament this afternoon at this exact time. So he may arrive later, but he informed already that he will not be here at the beginning of the meeting. So we also are waiting for Mr. Juan Pablo Letelier. We got no formal confirmation from him, but he may join us anytime. But that's the situation. And on the other hand, the Miss Reynoso from Mexico, senator from Mexico, she also confirmed that she will not be able to join us today for health reasons. And Mr. Meilan, the international expert, he also confirmed that as he's right now in Venezuela as part of the electoral observation mission of the European Union in Venezuela, he's traveling on the ground and having meetings, and for him it's impossible to join us today. So we are so far we're waiting for Mr. Paco Arifari and Ms. Andia Kun, both because both of them confirmed that they will come, and for the others they may arrive or not, but we should not wait a lot for them, for the others.
Good afternoon to all. Mr. Secretary General.
Hi, Mr. President.
I see you more times than my wife in the last few days.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what the IPU does to us.
But okay. So, I don't know. I hear Robert saying that some of the members are not available to join us. I don't know if it's better to wait a little bit more, try to understand if the others that accept the invitation will join. But in the beginning, just to say, Robert, congratulations for the report. It seems, yes, believe me, I always... I don't need to say that just to be kind. I really feel that it represents the spirit of what we achieve during our mission there. Congratulations.
Yeah, if I may add, yes, my own congratulations too to Roberto and the Human Rights Team for putting together this report. I was not in Venezuela, but when I read the report, it was like I was in Venezuela, which is very good. So I hope that it can serve, the report can serve as a very good basis for moving forward on this Venezuelan issue, which has been around for as long as I can remember.
I'm afraid that I will finish my term, and maybe Martin will finish your second term as well,
yes.
The new one, without resolve the question of Venezuela.
That's correct. We will leave unfinished business.
If I may, I will just inform you that we received a WhatsApp message from Nasiru, the president of the Committee on the Human Rights of Parliamentarians, confirming that he will arrive in a few minutes. He's connecting right now, so he may arrive.
Okay, very good.
It will be a pleasure to see him again.
Yeah.
Bonjour Nassirou, vous nous entendez?
Good afternoon Nassirou, can you hear us?
Je vois que vous êtes connecté.
I see that you are connected, but we don't see you.
Oui, allô, vous m'entendez maintenant?
Très
yes,
bien.
Can you hear me now? Excellent. That's great, thank you.
Roger,
did the meeting start already? Good afternoon. I'm very sorry if I'm arriving late. Well, in fact, yes and no. Not officially, because the president and the secretary general are with us. And we are still waiting for Mrs. Anyakun, now that you are here. And finally, Mr. Kogolati won't be able to attend the meeting, nor is it possible for Senator Reynoso. And we are still waiting to hear from Senator Letellier. But maybe in the meanwhile, because we are also trying to get in touch with Mayakun to know whether she's going to be with us, and the same for the Senator Letellier. But maybe we could already start if you agree. We could already start the debate if you agree with that. Yes, I would like to take advantage of this meeting to say hello to the president of the IPU, the secretary general, and Roberto, whom I can already also see on my screen. I was at a plenary session on the budget, and I had forgotten. Isabel got in touch with me, and I ran to the office to be connected in order to be with you. So thank you very much.
Dear friends, I agree it's better to begin this way, to discuss the report. Allow me to say that what I said a few minutes ago, to congratulate the team that prepared the report. It explains clearly what happened during our mission, and it's, I believe it's a very solid one. The arguments expressed here is not just by feeling, is always based with the statutes of the organization, but also with the legislative procedures of Venezuela. For instance, when we don't apply, when we don't recommend each one assembly 2020 and 2015 to be recognized, we have strong arguments to propose it. And so it is not a political feeling, is based at the law of Venezuela and the practical as well, because 2015 is not a parliament now. They don't have legislative or fiscalization power inside the country. So it's, maybe they can feel as a parliamentarians, but just on paper, not a real body. So it feels correct to me. Also, the proposal to accept as observer the two a joint mission, I really don't know if it will be possible to have a joint delegation. I'm afraid they will kill themselves before I arrived in Madrid. But at least we may propose it. The question raised to not to suspend the country, that the parliament that has now all the logistic is the assembly of 2020, and so they should pay the arrest of the quotas to the organization. And about the human rights of parliamentarians, what we saw is that we achieve good results, evolution from our mission, but of course the share of the Committee of Human Rights of Parliamentarians have more information about the developments and about the dangers that remains to our colleagues there. So, for me, I accept all without amendment the report proposed by the draft committee. Thank you. I'm trying to see if someone wishes to talk. Allow me to ask one question, because the colleagues that are not available to join, they send a message, express any kind of comment or reservation to the text. Positive or negative, of course.
Mr. President, if I may, I have, regarding that point, we received in writing comments from Mr. Bakou Arifari. So I think that he will express himself about that, those comments and those suggestions to improve the language of the report. And regarding the others members of the delegation, we chaired the report, we invited them to send feedback in writing, but we have received any feedback from them so far. So we have no feedback. We don't know if they accept or if they have comments in favor or against. But only Mr. Bakou Arifari chaired some suggestions. And maybe you may wish to invite Mr. Bakou Arifari to present his point of view regarding certain recommendations.
Thank you, Robert. Of course. Dear colleague, are you hearing us?
Je vous entends très bien.
Oh,
yes, I can
bonjour.
Hear you perfectly.
C'est un plaisir vous avez
Good morning.
Avec nous.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Can I speak now? I don't know.
No, we are not. I am not seeing you.
Yeah. But vous ne me voyez pas? Alors, comment faire pour...
Okay, you can't see me, but I can hear you
yes,
properly.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. Oh.
Très bien. Très bien. Alors, il y a...
Wonderful. So let me see if
Ça
I can find the right place. How are you doing?
Bien.
Well... Good morning, President. Good morning, Secretary General. Good morning, Roger, Roberto, and the team of the APU Secretariat. Secretary, As the president said, I think that the report is very true to what we've observed, and I really want to congratulate Senator Letellier for his work. He's an expert in constitutional law, and he gave us a lot of specifications, a lot of suggestions, but it was hard for us to be in compliance with the Venezuelan legal framework. But he did a really good job, and I'm really proud of him for that. So, yet I had a few comments and remarks, and I wanted a few clarifications. So, paragraph 84 of the report, in the French version at least, I don't know if the paragraphs are the same in all versions, it is suggested that neither the 2015 General Assembly nor the 2020 General Assembly have respected the national legal code, and neither of these should be acknowledged as national parliament and recognized as national parliament. My first concern here is that by doing so, we as the situation is very intricate, we didn't manage to choose one or the other and to make a suggestion to the executive committee in order to choose. So I'm not sure about this stance, because then in the next proposals, we say that the 2015 and the 2020 parliaments are mixed delegations. So they could come together to IPU assembly, but they wouldn't have a right to vote. So we say that, but at the same time, we want them to pay contributions. But we know that only the 2020 assembly can pay for these contributions. So we would like a parliament, we would like for a parliament we don't give a lot of rights to pay their contributions. But yeah, I don't really agree with that, because mixed delegations, it's complicated, because it's with regards of political contradictions in the country, I don't know if that's a good strategy. I think that by doing so, we would favor the 2020 parliament. So I don't know if that's doable, although for us, it could be a solution. And the current context is very difficult, very complex, but I don't know if that's really doable. That's my concern. If the 2020 parliament I've noticed that this parliament has the legislative power at the moment. So it is this parliament that has an impact on the country. So maybe we should try to have other kinds of discussions with both delegations and tell them that both delegations are invited to Geneva, so the 2015 Parliament and the 2020 Parliament. Because the 2015 Parliament has extended its mandate for another year, but from 2022 onwards, it won't exist any longer. So will the 2020 Parliament use that, use these legal rules in their favor? Because if you follow these rules, it means that the 2015 Parliament won't exist any longer in 2022. So then the 2020 Parliament may say, yes, there is no, the 2015 Parliament will no longer exist in 2022, so why should we have a mixed delegation? So for me, that's an issue. And so it's really hard to be okay with that, to be okay with the fact that the parliamentarians whose rights have been violated already in the past are now in an unbearable situation, insupportable situation. We cannot decide on something that will not favor them. I think that we should invite both delegations in Geneva and then negotiate, clearly negotiate on many items while always complying with the human rights of parliamentarians, with the elections. At least that's what I think. Because we've seen how divided the political scene of the country has been. So I think that's the best solution. That's what I think. That's my first observation on this recommendation. And I think that is really important. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, cher collègue. Thank you so much for your comment. As I understood, so the question raised by you, it's try to have a meeting, may I say, try to put in dialogue delegations from both assemblies. Of course, we may, with different dialogue between all kind of people, and especially to resolve internal problems and internal divergences. Let me say, the question raised to the extent of the mandate of the Assembly 2015 for 1 year, solve for us the presence of that assembly in Madrid. Of course, if you talk about Bali, it's different. But at least to the assembly in next weeks in Madrid, the problem is solved. Of course, I began to say that the proposal, I I accept that no one of the assemblies should be recognized as the legitimate representative of the people of Venezuela. One, because 2015, not just because I am not talking about political issues, I try to be in accordance with the statutes and the legislation of the country. And so 2015 is one assembly that exists just on paper. They don't have a practical power. For the other hand, 2020 was elected without respect for their own procedures, legal procedures of the country. And so this is enough to not recognize one or the other. So what may be the suggestion? No one will attend our meetings, and we wait for general and free elections recognized internationally, one point, or the other that is proposed now is in the middle time, because it's important to have the voice of Venezuelans in our organization, try to have a joint representation from both assemblies. If you ask me, I began to say that before the beginning of the reunion. If you ask me, it will be possible. I don't believe they will not accept to be on the same table representing Venezuela, one with the others. but maybe our suggestion, but I don't believe it will happen. One side and the other will not accept it. And so we may have a problem. We may have two delegations arriving in Madrid and asking at the offices to be registered as members to participate, delegates to participate in our assembly. And I don't know the lady or gentleman that will be there. He will become crazy without know what to do. Or no one will arrive. I believe that both assemblies, both delegations will arrive in Madrid. And they will create a problem to all of us. But before it, we need to understand what we propose to the executive committee next week. Finally, you raise a very important question. If we don't recognize the assembly of 2020, why asking AIR to pay the quotas in OEST? Of course, in favor, we may say, because they have the logistical all with them, okay. But maybe it's better, if we agree, I'm thinking your arguments, maybe it's better, and wait for a free elections and a new assembly, and on that day, asking the new assembly to pay the quotas in OEST. Because on the other way, they will say, if you don't recognize me, I will not pay. Of course. And so we may avoid a problem, decide to ask the quotas in OEST to the assembly that will be elected, we don't know when. But before that, forget it. It's one suggestion as well. Esther, do you want to say something?
Uh, Thank you very much. I agree.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Moi, je pense que le Président...
Well, thank you, President. I think it was a very good summary of the point of view, and he very well recapped the consequences. Now, I don't know what the other members think about this summary. That is, in fact, exactly what I was trying to say. So maybe we could just add that both delegations might be in Madrid, and for the Secretariat of the IPU, maybe we could organize a meeting of both parties in order to engage a dialogue, as it's been mentioned. It would be a first step. That would anticipate a bit what could be done in the future. So we could say that IPU does not recognize none of the assemblies, but recognizes the country and would like the country to be represented, and then ask them whether it's possible for them to reach an understanding in order to determine how the representation would be organized. So that would be a sort of proposal, a sort of offer that we could submit to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now our colleagues there.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. President. I want to thank Roberto, first of all, for making this report. I didn't have any particular comment to revert back during when he sent it weeks ago. But I also want to agree with what you've just said about the two delegations. Probably the conditionality that we should give them, their leaders, to send us people who, by the time we are meeting, we're having a side event meeting with them, should be also people who are capable of making some decisions, who are able to take feedback, because they might send us people who are not at decision level positions in their country or in their different parliaments in their country. But otherwise, I just want to say it would be a good idea to bring both parliaments to Madrid, and then, because this engagement is still a process, even still between us, the executive, and together with the Committee of Human Rights, it's still a continuous process. It's not going to end now. Even after Madrid, there's going to be a continuous kind of engagement, because we all witnessed circumstances that are happening in Madrid. It was not very, very smooth mission for us. And having at the back of our mind that they are all looking forward to see what our report, the outcome of our report, and of course they expect a balanced kind of decisions. But also Robert brought very well most of the points very clearly, and I want to submit by saying I support the report, and I want to thank you all. Thank you very much.
Mr. Secretary General, your experience in to solve complicated situations may be useful. We are not hearing you, Martin, sorry.
Sorry, I was muted. I must admit that this is a very complicated situation, and it has been that way for a long, long, long time.
Oh, okay.
I think that whatever we do as an organization is definitely to show that we are impartial, and the proposal that had been made to not recognize either one of the two assemblies seemed to be along those lines, and I would share that point of view. But I also think that we need to take into account what the chair of this Committee on Human Rights of Parliamentarians has said about the applicability of the solution involving bringing together the two parliaments as a single delegation. I think that it is a very important one, that one parliament, the 2015 parliament is time bound. Its mandate is due to end very soon. I think it's even this year, no? When they extended their term, Roberto, you can correct me, it was for 1 year, and that 1 year is expiring, right?
In January, January 2022 is the end.
Okay, so come 2022, if we apply that solution fully, then in Indonesia, we will not have a two-part delegation because one parliament will have disappeared. I think that in the initial phase, to buy time, we should put forward the proposal to continue to promote dialogue between the two sides to achieve a political agreement. And this can be seen as supporting the peace process in Mexico, which is stalled at this particular time. So maybe the IPU can play that honest broker role, saying, yes, we do recognize that the conditions under which the two assemblies are functioning are not optimal, for the reasons that have been clearly explained in the report. But let's sit down and talk and see how we move together on the political front. Because at the end of the day, the IPU is a political institution. And so our responsibility is not to throw somebody out, but is to bring them in and have a dialogue with them. And the two sides, I think, should be invited to sit at a table in an IPU meeting. Why not in Madrid, if they don't kill each other, as the president is saying?
Absolutely.
Yes, by the time they get to Madrid. But we tell them, come to Madrid. We want to continue this dialogue with you on the political front, so that we can come up with a position that is agreeable to the wider membership of the organization. I think, for me, it might help. Otherwise, we just wait until January 2022, and then in Bali we say, okay, the proposal we made in November does no longer stand because we have just one parliament now. So I don't know if that helps. I think, Mr. President, you may also want Roberto to brief us on the current state of negotiations in Mexico. I think we have a note that has been shared with me and you, Mr. President, but it might be good for the other members of the delegation to know where we stand about on this, because your report refers to that dialogue that is taking place in Mexico, and you may want to update or adjust your position in light of what has happened recently. So, Mr. President, you may wish to give Roberto the floor to give us an update on that, on the talks.
Thank you, Martin. Before I give the stage to Robert, allow me to say, so, concrete questions, it's better to forget to ask them to pay, because if we ask the 2020 Assembly to pay, is a kind of recognition that they are the ruling parliament. It's better to wait. I think IPU will not disappear if we don't receive the quota of Venezuela for the next 6 months. And so we may wait for free elections, and after it, we will ask them to pay all the quotas in the rest. Second, as we understood, we shared the worries that a joint delegation will not be easy. Maybe it's better to invite both assemblies to be present. So, because they never will agree to be in a joint delegation representing Venezuela. So maybe it's better to invite them as observer. Of course, because as we did with the other countries, we will indicate the name, the number of MPs that will be allowed. Because if you are saying to one country that is not possible to have more than 6 or 5 or 4 members of parliament because of the COVID restrictions inside the room, we will say the same thing to Venezuela, but of course we need to share the cut of the country to the both assemblies. If it's 6, 3-3. If it's 4, 2-2. Because it's impossible to have one representation from Spain with 6 members and a representation of Venezuela with 12 members, for instance. No one will accept it. The country representation is the same. There, we will indicate the name, the number of members. And, of course, we should try to arrange time there in Venezuela, in Madrid, to have, if it's possible, a joint meeting with both delegations, and to incentivize the dialogue that is essential to solve the problems, and also. This is one of the values of IPU, and so we should try to have in the beginning, on the first day, for instance, or second day, we need to see as soon as possible to avoid problems at the plenary of the assembly or at the governing council or something similar, to try to promote a meeting with both delegations. Myself, Secretary General, the members of the team that went to Venezuela, and so on. This is, as I understood. Of course, there in Mexico, then in Caracas, we were very inspired by the beginning of the process of negotiations in Mexico. As I understood, and I will ask Roberto, we have developments about it, but also developments about the International Penal Court. And they will, these both situations may interfere in the real life of a political situation in Venezuela. Roberto, do you want to share the developments you know?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Indeed, as you mentioned, Mr. President and Mr. Secretary General, in your report, you express your support for this ongoing dialogue, and also when the delegation was in Venezuela, you received so abundant information on the expectations about this historical process of dialogue going on in Mexico. That's why in the report, a big part of the report, and one of the main findings and recommendations of the report is to continue supporting that process of dialogue. However, in a few weeks ago, Mr. Jorge Rodriguez, who you know very well, is the speaker of the 2020 Assembly, and who is also the head of the government delegation to the talks in Mexico, he announced that the dialogue was suspended until further notice. And this is because one very close ally to Mr. Maduro, Mr. Alex Saab, is being detained in the US after being extradited from Cabo Verde. because he's being tried in the US for to profit from state run food subsidy programs or other orchestrating corruption network and laundering money and a lot of that, a lot of related crimes. So this this person, Mr. Saab, works very closely with Mr. Maduro and represents the government of Venezuela in international contracts and other kind of businesses. And after his detention, the government of Venezuela included him as part of the official delegation of the government to Mexico. They already knew that. So he was in detention and he was already being tried. And after that, they included him as a member of the official delegation to Mexico. And then now they are saying that as one of the members of this official delegation representing the government in the talks is being tried in the US, the United States of America is interfering in the dialogue and preventing one delegate to this dialogue to from participating in those talks and to protest and to show their disagreement with this position. They suspended dialogue for the time being. So this is the latest development. However, I would like to say that previously, like a month ago, the dialogue was also suspended because during the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York, the first minister of Norway, during her speech before the General Assembly, she expressed some concerns regarding the human rights situation in Venezuela. And after that, the government also said, we suspend immediately these talks because we don't trust in Norway as an honest broker, because Norway, as you know, is facilitating the talks as a independent honest broker between the opposition and the government. And then at that point of time, the official delegation of representing Maduro said, we stop our talks. And after that, the Norwegian representative excused himself and saying, we will guarantee all this process, and we will continue to be impartial and all of that. And then the talks resume. So this is to say that this process is evolving all the time, is suspended and resumed, and then is suspended and resumed. But now it's suspended. We don't know. I saw this morning, in fact, that some informal sources close to the government said that the dialogue was suspended, but they will see after the elections in November, the 21st of November, these regional elections that they are organizing. After that, they will see if they go back to the dialogue. So it's suspended so far, but it's not completely dead. So we this is why it's so difficult to plan ahead for following up on the situation in Venezuela, because it's constantly evolving. So far it's suspended, but it may resume very soon in a few weeks or never resume. So we don't know about that. And another point that I wanted to mention is about these proceedings before the International Criminal Court. Because last week, for the first time, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court went to Venezuela upon an official invitation made by the government. He met with Mr. Maduro, with the president of the Supreme Court and other high representative of the executive. And they signed a memorandum of understanding between the state of Venezuela and the court, the International Criminal Court. And after that, and even while he was in Venezuela, the prosecutor publicly announced that the International Criminal Court will open a preliminary investigation on Venezuela about allegations of crimes against humanity. And this is also a major development, because it's the first time that one Latin American country will be scrutinized by the court, the criminal court, and also because Mr. Maduro himself is being accused of being involved in serious human rights violations. So this is also something new, but in some way it's already included in the report. At the end of the report, in among the recommendations to the international community, you have this recommendation of all actors from the international community to continue supporting the work of international organizations and international bodies, such as the International Criminal Court, in their work to promote and protect the human rights in Venezuela. So in this regard, there is no contradiction in the report concerning this recent development. And a very final point that I would like to mention is about the legal status of the 2015 National Assembly. This is linked to this constant evolution of the situation, because until now, this National Assembly remains in place because they adopted this transition statute until January 2022. But we don't know if this month or in 2 weeks they will maybe adopt a new decision to remain in place, and all the situation will change. So this is also that something that you may take into account, and also the executive committee, when they will study the situation, because it's something that may change in the coming weeks, in the coming months. This transition statute may also evolve, but we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. So much,
merci,
Roberto.
Merci, Roberto.
It is easy to understand that the assembly of 2015.
Oui, c'est facile à comprendre que l'assemblée de 2015 va essayer de prolonger son mandat d'au moins un an.
And then they will do it so many times as it is necessary.
Et ensuite, ils le referont autant que nécessaire.
Because also, this is the way they have to
Parce
be
que,
to make some pressure to the government.
C'est la seule chose qu'ils peuvent faire pour faire pression sur le gouvernement. Parce que l'Assemblée est reconnue par de nombreux pays, l'UE, les États-Unis, le Canada, etc.
The other question, thank you so much for the information, about the suspension of the process of dialogue in Venezuela. It's a pity, but maybe the beginning of the investigations of the international court can make also some pressure to the government side to come back and to keep the dialogue. Mr. Secretary General, we understood there that the regime is afraid of that investigation, and for instance, just between us, I understood that one of the points wise is if the opposition abandoned the procedure at the International Penal Court, it can be one question essential for them to accept free elections. And so the beginning of the investigation and the procedures taken by the court also will be a pressure to the regime to come back to the process of dialogue and try to achieve a solution that can be acceptable for all, for both sides, of course, and to the international community as well. And after it, one of the points, could be that the International Court will put an end to the investigation itself. So, try to conclude something, dear colleagues. We may think that, first, we accept not to recognize neither one or the other. Second, we will invite a delegation from both assemblies to Cannes, to Madrid. Third, we will try to organize a meeting in Madrid to promote dialogue between them. Four, we will forget the suggestion to ask the 2020 Assembly to pay the quotas in arrest. Is it what you agree? What we may agree?
Yes, Mr. President, I think I agree with the four.
Okay. So this is Martin. Roberto, may you now to Robert change the, as you see, of course, important points, but not substantial. We will not change the report from the page one to the last one, but try to express that at the conclusions, recommendations, and then we will circulate it to the both assembly, giving a week, maybe. Help me, how many days you should give them, because we need to have the final report to the executive committee meeting. And so I don't know how many days we will give them to ask them comments and suggestions. Martin?
Yeah, if I don't know whether Roberto and his colleagues can finalize that report between now and tomorrow. Is that possible, Roberto?
Well, maybe not tonight, but yeah, tomorrow,
between
yes.
Now and tomorrow, yes. I think, Mr. Okay. President, if I could be helpful here, when we do send this report, it should be a report that remains at the level of relating what the mission saw on the spot. And I would think that in the interest of the dialogue that is taking place in Mexico and the one that we want to promote in the IPU, we should not be too forthcoming about recognition of one side over the other, or giving an indication of whom we think is legitimate and not legitimate. So the report that goes to them is for them to see that they, to tell us that the committee, or no, the delegation actually was correct in its interpretation of the facts that were given to them on the ground. And then as to follow up, we are saying that for the time being, we want to promote that aspect of dialogue, and that is why we would give attention to what is happening in Mexico. But also, as we have offered in the past, we want to see whether the two sides can sit down with us in Madrid and have some dialogue to move forward the entire peace process. And then on the basis of that, the executive committee may want to come back to this during the assembly in Madrid and make a recommendation to the governing council on the last day of the council, which is the 30th November. So it gives time for us to look into the various pitfalls that might be there for us and see if there are any opportunities for us to position the IPU as we say, the honest broker, and take it from there. It being understood again that we have this issue of a parliament that extended its term for 1 year. And Mr. President, you are right, it's going to take a decision to extend it for another year and all of that. So For the time being, I think that what we want to do is dialogue. I agree that although they owe us more than half a million Swiss francs, the organization has not gone down the drain. And I don't think that waiting for 6 months or 1 year would severely affect our finances. So I do agree that the issue of arrears doesn't come up at this particular point.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So, yes. So short answer is, if we give the them 1 week to give us an answer, are you going to come to Madrid or not? Then we can arrange in that fashion.
Okay, Martin. The report will send tomorrow. Of course, I really believe that it's completely neutral, and our behavior there try to be as neutral as possible. To hear everyone, to understand the positions and the arguments from one side and from the other one, and after it, to present a very independent report showing that we are not choosing one side. And so, dialogue is essential. So, if the report should maybe sent tomorrow and giving them a week to give us a feedback, and in the same time, we may invite, because they need to arrange the logistical procedures of air tickets, hotels, and so on, invite them both to be present. This invitation, just to avoid complications, Martin, I think we should say expressly how many people can be the composition of each side. Because if one side came with 10 and the other with 2, the relations of force with our meetings and so on will not be the same. So to keep the neutrality of, we may say, no more than 4, for instance, or 3, I don't know. You will see how many persons can be available in our rooms there, because we have a problem of space and restrictions because of the COVID-19. But try to give them a limit of the composition of the delegation. Of course, if they wish to go less, their decision. But more will not acceptable inside the room. I remember we did it also in Geneva when we received the speaker of the 2020 assembly, that inside our rooms, because of the procedures of the Swiss authorities, it is not possible to have more than, I don't remember, 8 persons, for instance, and others wait outside. Okay, their decision. But we should give a limit, same limit, to keep our neutrality and show that them that we are not choosing one side or the other.
Yeah, thank you. I agree entirely, Mr. President. And may I add that in the invitation, I state that it is important for both sides to agree to come to Madrid. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. There will be no Venezuela. If one side says we are not coming, we cannot. I don't think we should accommodate the other side to come. I think we will try to design the letter in a way that shows that it is crucial for both sides to be in Madrid for any progress to be made on this dossier. So,
thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
So, dear colleagues, if you don't have anything more, we can endorse the report. And tomorrow, after Roberto modifies it in accordance with this idea, and we trust you, as you know, it will be shared to both assemblies. Robert, do you want to say something, Robert?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you very much. Just to be clear that I understood correctly the instruction. We will send this report to the Venezuelans, to both sides, but only the factual part. We will take out all the conclusions and recommendations. It's for right. them to provide us with their point of view regarding the facts. That's correct.
Yes.
However, I have another question, because we need also to submit, or your delegation needs to submit a report also to the executive committee for discussions. So do I take that for the executive committee, we will include then the recommendations that we have just discussed? So taking out the side of paying the arrears and inviting both side delegations to Madrid, and also to organize a meeting and all of that. So that's the instruction, right?
I believe so.
Very good. Very
because
good.
The members of the executive yes. committee should have is a right of our colleagues to have the full information, of course, and also to endorse why we invite both delegations to come to Madrid and so on. This is one decision, not just mine or from the Secretary General or from the delegation. It needs to be one decision of the executive committee as a group, as a board of IPU.
Very clear. Thank you, Mr. President.
So, dear colleagues, thank you so much for your collaboration. Sorry.
Merci beaucoup.
Oh, Mr. President, can I just ask one additional question for clarification, which is related to the status of the delegation, of the two-side delegation that will come to Madrid? They would be observers, so they could also participate in the proceedings of the Assembly? Is that... I'm raising the question for because, of course, both sides will make as much political mileage of their presence in Madrid as they can. And so they will not just be coming to Madrid to see you and the IPU Secretary General and the rest of the delegation. And I'm just wondering how you would like to communicate on this. And there's also the aspect that if the executive committee discusses this matter on the 24th or the 25th of November, then also still the issue of Venezuela in the IPU will be handled subsequently, and a final decision will be taken by the Governing Council, which meets on the 27th, the Saturday, 27th November, or it can also be dealt with on the 30th of November. But there's also this issue of it's ultimately the Governing Council that will decide on the question of Venezuela's representation in the IPU. So, yes, if there are observers, is that a recommendation that also the executive committee can make without this having been validated by the Governing Council? And if there are observers, if that's what is the recommendation from the executive committee or from the delegation, then of course we need to be aware of how this can play out, practically speaking. And a very last question. You're meeting now with three members of the delegation present, and three of them are absent, including prominent members of the delegation. You have slightly changed the recommendations in the sense that you're now inviting a delegation to come to Madrid. Can we safely assume that the three members who are not present in this meeting now, which has drawn these conclusions, will not be consulted again to give their final opinion on these additional recommendations with regard to a hybrid delegation in Madrid, so that we can send out the report as quickly as possible to the Venezuelan sides?
Very important questions. Very important. Thank you so much. First of all, about our three colleagues, as I understood, the questions that we will change are not substantial. For instance, we have there the arrests. Of course, it's to forget it, the quotas in arrest. The other issue is to make a substitute of the adjoint delegation to invitation to both assemblies to be present. Of course, for instance, it can be expressed in two paragraphs or something similar. If the colleagues agree, and we may send it by to the other three colleagues and saying that we ask them it approved by silence, if give them 4 hours or 6 hours, and that if they don't have anything to say against it, was the result of our discussion. Of course, they were invited. They decide they don't are available to attend the meeting, but we gave them opportunity to express about these small points that we are changing. And after it, the report is done to go to Venezuela and to the executive committee. Then you ask a very important question. And I don't know, I understood so well what you said. When I talk about observer, I'm thinking presence without vote. But this is clearly. But you are right. Usually the observers has the right to make interventions and to participate in our debate. And of course, I believe that one side and the other will ask the floor in all issues to defend themselves and to accuse the other one. And after it, we can transform the assembly just about the discussion of Venezuela, especially in Spain, with the TV channels present and so on. And I will ask, of course I should know it, but I don't know, I am completely frank, if it's possible to invite them with other statues. With not observer, to avoid them to ask the floor, but with other paper, other role that, but I don't know if it's possible. It's a question that I will raise now to you, maybe Martin, or you know more about it than me.
Thank you. I think that when observers take the floor, it is at the discretion of the presiding officer of the proceedings at that particular time. It is not a right that they take the floor. It's not a right. The only people who actually have the right to take the floor are the members, and to a certain extent, the associate members of the organization. Observers, as the term implies, are there to listen. And if they want to lobby in the corridors, it's fine. But we will be very clear that we're inviting them as observers, first of all, with a view to dialogue and to ascertaining the status of Venezuela in the IPU. It is not with a view to participating in the deliberative functions of the organization. We can try to do that and give instructions to the various officials and members who will be presiding over the proceedings of the various meetings to be careful about this. And of course, if Venezuela goes to a committee on health and then brings up the issue of membership, then they're out of order. They'll be ruled out of order. But I think that we can stay at the level of observer and just make sure that we observe the observer status to the strictest maximum. So that is my advice. And then I think that it is there. You, Mr. President, you and your colleagues in the executive committee do not need on the first Council, during the first council meeting to make a recommendation to the governing council on Venezuela. you are still discussing the Venezuela issue. And depending on how things unfold, then you may want to make a recommendation to the council on its during its last session. Even if you say at that particular time that you are not ready to recommend one side or the other, it's already a recommendation. We need not come out of Madrid with a clear-cut decision on the situation of Venezuela. Because as you people have said in your report, you want to give maximum chance to those opportunities for dialogue that have been opened, including with the IPU. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martin. And you explained, it's very useful information for me. Thank you. That the observer will have the floor if the person that are leading the meeting decides to give them. It is not a right. Because, believe me, I saw that some observers usually have the floor, but as now I understood, not as a right, but as a decision of the chair of the committee, or the chair of the governing council, or the chair of the president of the assembly. And this way, we need to talk with all of them, try to avoid, for they safe, to give the floor to one side or the other side, because if they will do it, they will open a Pandora box, and it will be very difficult for them to manage the meeting itself. Are you now the questions wise are answered? Thank you so much. So this way, before send the report to the Venezuelan, we will send the small change expressly and by to ask them to approve by silence to the three colleagues that are not now with us.
Very okay. Good.
Thank you so much, Martin.
Merci.
Dear colleagues, it's a pleasure to see you. Everyone. Very soon we will meet in Madrid in person.
Very good. Thank you, Duarte.
Secretary
thank
General.
You.
Mr. President,
merci, Prida. Allez.
C'est un plaisir.
Bon après-midi à tous et bonne soirée. Merci. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
See you, Esther. See you in Madrid.